Hey guys, well, tonight we are finishing our series, Identity Crisis. And this whole series is looking at who we are and what that means, very simply. And so tonight, as we talk about Miracle at the Mount, we're actually going to be looking at something that I believe is really crucial in our nation at this time. And it's kind of a touchy subject, to say the least, but I think it's so important that we understand the implications that this has on our identity. You know, when I was growing up, I grew up in one of the most diverse places in all the world. In fact, Los Angeles County, I grew up in a place called Northridge. And in this community, there were people from literally all over the world, every type of ethnicity, every type of group of people. And I lived about a mile away from this university called Cal State Northridge. And in this place, there were a ton of international students, people that would commute from all over the world to kind of come to this one place. And so we had just a ton of different people from a ton of different backgrounds. And about 2 miles from where I lived, about 5 minutes, there was this housing project that was called Park Parthenia. And it was a housing project, constituencies mainly of people that had either freshly immigrated from a Latin American country, from a Hispanic country, or they were either first generation American, or maybe their kids were first generation Americans. And this area was only 5 minutes from where I grew up, but I can tell you that, you know how 2 miles can feel like a world apart, right? Like, this was something that was completely different. In fact, there was a gang that lived in this area, and they were called the Parthenia Boys. And so they were all over this place, and it was quite honestly just a place that I did not go to very often. I mean, it was very close to where I went to church, but it was not a scene that I was there a lot. And I'll never forget, when I was in high school, my mom began to volunteer for the Los Angeles Police Department for this program that was called PALS. And what she would do is she would go right across the street from Park Parthenia, and she would go work with some of the children from there, and she would do arts and crafts with them. And she would teach them how to draw, and she would, you know, show them how to draw SpongeBob, their favorite cartoon characters, and she would do all these arts and crafts with them. And I know that the relationships she built with them were so amazing. In fact, I know that when we moved from California to Ohio, the thing she missed the most was not the sunshine, but it was actually the relationship she built with these little kids. And what I can tell you is that my 5'2" little mom went into this really kind of dangerous area each and every week for 4 years. And each and every time she went in there, man, she just fell in love with these kids. And it didn't matter what color skin they were. It didn't matter kind of where they grew up or what their family lives were like or what the world was predicting them to be. All she knew is that they were just little kids, and that they had a future, and that they were people that were valued. And tonight what we're going to talk about is our racial identity, who we are in context of who is around us, in context of our color of our skin, the context of our ethnicity. And here's why I love this, because at Paramount, we are a place that is very culturally diverse. It's actually awesome to see that we have people here from both sides of the tracks. We have people here that have grown up with a lot, people who have grown up with a little. We have people here of darker skin colors. We have people here of lighter skin colors. And I love it because we just all love each other. And this is an incredible environment. But how many of you know that when you start looking at our nation as a whole, that there are some serious racial tensions being fired up right about now? In fact, we're going into a political cycle where immigration is one of the top things that is being talked about. But we don't even have to look that far, because we could look at all these riots that are going on, and we could look at some of the issues that have been happening with some of the police department or some of the riots that have been coming from that, some of the different movements that have started to form throughout our country. And many things that we look at and we say, oh man, this was hundreds of years ago, are still plaguing us in sometimes more subtle ways today. And, you know, the thing is, it's easy to look at what's so big and, like, these big issues and think, oh, that doesn't affect us here and now. But the reality is that racial tension or racial diversity or racism is something that can impact our lives in very subtle ways. And our culture's cure for this is quite simple. It's to change people's social consciousness. If you can help them socially, then you'll help everything else. And I applaud the people who are fighting for social justice, who are fighting for these things, but I want to tell you something, that all of this is incomplete without the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of it is incomplete, and here's why. Because no amount of common sense or complete understanding is going to take care of the fact that the problem of racism is not a cultural or a social issue, but it is a sin issue. It is a heart issue. And as we sit here tonight, as you're in 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, Many of us can assume that racism is something from a generation gone by, but I want us to take a look at our own hearts tonight. And I would appeal to you tonight, as someone who's sitting here, to look at your own life and say, are there areas in my life that I have built up walls between me and other people? Are there reasons that I have created separation between me and people who don't look like me, or people who don't act like me, or didn't grow up like me? Because I believe that God's desire is for something so much more complete than that. God's desire is for something so much greater than that. In fact, this issue of racial tension has actually been going on for a long time. So tonight, we're going to look at it through the lens of the gospel. And I really believe that this is something that if we can get our hearts around, that God wants to change the way we focus on this. And so in thousands of years ago, there was a guy named Abraham. And Abraham was actually God's chosen person. And he was the person that God began a relationship with. And he actually was the father of the nation of Israel. Now, the Jewish people were, for centuries, the only people who had relationship with God. In fact, if you wanted to get to God, you had to go through the Jewish customs, and you had to go through the Jewish lifestyle, and this was just kind of how things worked for them. And God made Abraham this promise. He said that I will not only bless you, but I will bless the world through your descendants. And we're going to hold on to that for just a second, and we're going to come back to that, because that's really important. But I want to show us that for a long time, people thought the only way to God was through this Jewish community. And so then Jesus comes along. And Jesus was actually a Jewish-born person. Maybe you didn't know that. Jesus was Jewish. And so Jesus comes along, and he claims to be the Son of God. He claims to be God. And it's kind of a crazy claim. Like, if I were to claim that tonight, most of us would think I'm crazy, and you'd be right. But see, with Jesus, he kind of predicted his own death, which is crazy. But what's even crazier is that he predicted his own resurrection, too. And so when Jesus went and died, and then he rose again, people started going, oh, maybe he is who he said he is. And maybe he really came to do what he said he came to do. And so basically, to give you this overview, Jesus was a person that came to bring salvation. He came to forgive our sins and bring salvation. That's what he wanted to do. And so when the Jews started seeing this, they got excited and they started sharing this news with everybody. And that's called the gospel. It's called the good news about what Jesus can do. But then this curveball kind of threw, and if you play baseball, this is like a knee buckler. This is one that kind of makes you like scratch your head. This is a good curveball, because then Jesus comes and says, hey, salvation is not just for the Jews. Salvation is for the world. And remember what God said to Abraham? He said, hey, look, I'm going to bless your inheritance. I'm going to bless your descendants, but I'm also going to bless the world through you. See, what they didn't understand at that time is that God wanted to reach everyone. And so there was this whole group of people that were non-Jews, and that would be Gentiles. That would be you, me, if you're not Jewish. And so the disciples begin to go to these people, and they begin to share the gospel with them, and they begin to have these churches. And there's these incredible churches, and they begin to just follow God and receive God through faith. And then all of a sudden, there was a certain group of Jews that begin to go up, and they begin to follow every church, and they would start to tell these people who are Gentiles, and they'd say, hey, look, it's awesome that you found Jesus. It's awesome that he saved you. But you're going to have to start becoming more like a Jew to do this, okay? You're going to have to start having to follow our customs. You're going to have to start doing the things we want to do. You're going to have to follow the way we approach God. And guys, let me just tell you, for you, this would be a really tough thing, because one of the main things that you had to do as a Jewish male to be close to God was you had to get circumcised. And let me just say this, as a baby, you may forget that stuff. But when it gets to adulthood, that is something you will never forget. It is a whole different thing that takes place. And so these grown men are like, wait a second, are you sure we have to do this? Are you sure that we need to adopt this way to get to God? And so this scholar of the time, his name was Paul, and Paul was one of the top Jewish scholars. And he is also a pastor of many of the churches around these times in Greece and in Asia. He writes a letter to a church. And he writes this letter to this church in modern-day Turkey, and it's called Galatia. And this church, and the letter is called Galatians. And in this, he explains that it's not the color of your skin, it's not the customs that you followed religiously or ethnically, it is something so much greater that gives you access to God. So we're going to look at Galatians chapter 3. It says this, "For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ." For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, not through the color of your skin, not through what side of the tracks you grew up on, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Here's what this is saying, that no matter what tax bracket you grew up in, no matter what color skin you have, no matter who you associate with, no matter what customs you grew up embracing, the one thing that will get you into a relationship with Jesus Christ is a faith in him. The one thing that will bring you salvation is faith in him. And guys, here's what I think we could learn from what Paul was saying to this church and what he's, I believe, saying to us, is that Christ's salvation broke the walls of separation. Christ's salvation broke the walls of separation. And it's possible that here tonight you have some walls up to people. You have some walls up to people who aren't like you. And it's so easy to do, but I believe it's such a dangerous thing to do because I believe one of the biggest obstacles to you making a difference in this world is you refusing to love those who are different in this world. The biggest difference between you making a difference in this world, one of the biggest obstacles to you making a difference in this world is you refusing to love and to care for those who are different in this world. I really believe that God is calling us as a community of people to be people who go above and beyond to love those we wouldn't normally be around. Heck, maybe even love those we wouldn't normally like. We tend to not like things that are different, but I want to say this, that God is trying to break down some walls. God wants to break down walls of separation. God wants to break down walls in your heart. And I really believe that there are some things that we have to allow God to change in us if we are truly going to make a difference in this world. And you know, when you think about this process of really breaking down the walls of separation and allowing God to change us, it starts in, I believe, three ways. The first is it starts in our heart. See, the most powerful way that we can address racism, the most powerful way that we can address racial tension is not through throwing more money at something. It's not through education, but it is through life transformation. It is through allowing God to change our very hearts. And the only way that can happen is through Christ setting us free. The Bible says when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that he actually makes you a new person. He gives you a new heart. We need God to give us a new heart. But see, then we need God to change how we see. We need God to give us new eyes. And see, here at Paramount, we are big on asking you and telling you and encouraging you to pray. One of the things that we think is most instrumental to your growth in your life is your prayer life. And next week, we're going to be starting a brand new series called Devotion. And in this series, we're going to be talking about how to feel like you know what you're doing when you pray. Because if you're anything like me, maybe you felt like I have no clue how to pray. And so next week, Kristen is going to be preaching about how do we actually pray? What do we actually say? Do we just kind of, you know, bow our heads and close our eyes and then say mysterious things with these and thous? We want to teach you how to do that. But see, what happens in prayer is that God begins to change how we see people. God begins to take people who we wouldn't normally like or normally love or go the extra mile for, and he begins to change how we see them. We begin to have compassion. We begin to see them through a totally different lens. And when we allow God to change our heart, he begins to change how we see people. And one of the most powerful prayers you can pray to God is, God, show me if there's anything inside of me that is hating other people. Show me if there's anything inside of me that I need to work on. Show me if there's any walls that I've built in my life toward other people. Let me just say this. The Bible is actually really clear about this. And Christians, you got to be really careful because the Bible says this, that you can claim to love God. You can claim to love God, but if you don't love other people, if you hate other people, that you really don't love God. And that's something strong. That's something powerful. That's hard to imagine, but that's what the Bible says. It says that if you say you love God but hate people, that you really don't love God. And we need to be a people that say, God, I need you to change my heart. I need you to change how I see people. I need you to cleanse me and make me a new person. But then we have to allow that to change our hands. We have to become people that serve. We have to become people that serve those who are different than us. We have to become people who use our hands to build bridges and not burn bridges. We have to allow God to transform us. And man, one of the most powerful things, very practically, that you can do to love someone who's not like you is to value them. Think about this. When you know someone's name and you ask them how they're doing and you smile at them, that is something that automatically tells them, this person cares about me. And so guys, maybe you are not normally very nice to your waiters or waitresses, and all my waiters and waitresses can say amen to that, right? But you know what it's like to do that. And man, I want to encourage you, be a person that loves those who just aren't like you. Serve those who just didn't grow up on the same side of the tracks. Get to know. In fact, I love the fact that Paramount is a diverse place. And let me just say this. Maybe there's some people that you are, I don't know, you've just never talked to before. And maybe they're just a little bit different than you. Maybe they don't dress how you dress. And maybe they're just not the same. But I would love to encourage you to let this be a place where God builds bridges and tears down walls. We really believe that the gospel is that powerful. It can actually socially reform everything. It can change our hearts. And it can change our what's going on in our nation from the inside out. We believe it's that powerful. In fact, guys, we have to know this, that God loves diversity. God loves diversity. In fact, he created it. And God doesn't want you to become like someone else. God doesn't want you to just, you know, try and become who you see on TV or whatever. Like, God just wants you to be the diverse person that you are called to be. In fact, I love what it says in the very last book of the Bible. It's called Revelations. It says this. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." See, there's going to be a day when you're going to be surrounded by people who are totally different than you. You're all going to have one thing in common, that your faith has made you whole in Jesus Christ, that Jesus has changed your life. We really believe that this is the power of God, that there will be a day where every nation, every ethnicity will be worshiping God. Guys, let's go ahead and pray. I want to give you just a second. I want to give you just a second to ask God that very dangerous question. God, is there any walls that I have built in my heart toward other people? And we're going to just be a little bit silent for just a second. I'm going to give you like 10 seconds, but I really believe that God wants to break down some walls in some people tonight. God, we just thank you that, Jesus, you came to build a bridge. You didn't come to build walls. And we just pray tonight that maybe those subtle things that we've been doing that have been hateful to other people, or those subtle things that we've been doing that have kind of left us in the dark in this issue, we pray that tonight you would just cleanse our hearts from that. If there's things that we've been doing that are overtly just racist, or if there's things that we've been overtly that are just hateful to other people, we pray that tonight would be a night that you would change our hearts, change how we see people, help us to see them the way you do. I want to just give one opportunity, and here's what this is for. We talked about Jesus bringing salvation. We talked about Jesus bridging the gap, but the reality is the only way to that salvation is through a faith in Jesus. Jesus made it very clear. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no way other than me to the Father." That no other religion, no other worldview is going to cut it, that when the day of judgment comes, that it is Christ and Christ alone that will stand tall. And here's what we believe, that if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, just like that scripture said, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, God will forgive your sins, and he will make you a new person. And all he asks of you is to turn your heart to him and to give him control of your life. Let him call the shots in your life. Let him become the Lord of your life. And if you do that, you will receive eternal salvation. It's the most powerful thing that you could ever experience. So if that's you tonight, we're going to pray a prayer, and it's a prayer that so many people over here have already prayed. We're going to pray this prayer, and I want to encourage you, if this is you and you say, "I'm praying this prayer," I want to encourage you to pray it from your heart, because it's not just about the words you're saying, but it's about the heart you're saying it with. So Paramount, would you repeat after me and help everyone out and say this. Say, "Jesus, I need you. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've made mistakes. But tonight, I ask for forgiveness. Change me from the inside out. I make you the Lord of my life. If you prayed that prayer, what's so cool is the Bible actually says that you were born again, like into God's family. And I don't know if you've ever had a baby born in your family, but it's one of the most exciting things. It's this new life that was not on the planet that is now there. And the Bible actually says, Jesus said this. He said that if even one person accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior, if even one person does that, that all of heaven is actually throwing a party right now with your name on the banner. I mean, they are going so crazy in heaven right now just for you. And I'm not in heaven. I don't know what God knows, but I just want to ask you to do me a favor with not a head open or not an eye open and not a head up. We're just going to ask you with every head bowed, every eye closed. If that was you, if you prayed that prayer, can you just do me a favor? Can you just raise your hand? Can you just slip your hand up and say, that was me? We see that hand. Congratulations. We're getting a Bible to you right now. If that's you, you say, man, that was me. I came into that relationship with Jesus. Just getting that one more time. Making sure. Congratulations. So cool. Guys, you can look up at me. Man, that's so awesome. We had someone make that decision tonight. And in just a moment, we're going to celebrate in a true Paramount fashion. And then we're going to get off into the night and have a lot of fun. But I want to just say this. If you raised your hand, if that was you, I want to encourage you. And actually, even if you've raised your hand so long ago that you can't even remember when you did it, I want to encourage you, baptism is always the next step. In fact, Jesus said that that's the very first step after you give your heart to him is to get baptized. And if you want to get baptized, man, we want you to get baptized so bad. We want you to go public for what Jesus has done in your life. And so if that's you, please talk to a leader. Please talk to me. We'd love to help you get baptized. But guys, can we just take a second and do exactly what they're doing in heaven?